Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bishcake, CB, and JP. That's the foursome on an open line Thursday. You certainly can chime in at 800-636-1067. But it's 7 o'clock, and at 7, we hit the skins on the Junkies.
All right, top story on Hit the Skins.
I don't know. I didn't know we were doing that, to be honest with you. Right. We can...
Daily feature. Same time every day.
Yeah, sometimes we have John Keim on. You forgot to remind me.
I told you during the break that he's got Adrian Peterson audio.
So you just told me just now. It didn't mean we were hitting the skins.
He teased it going to break.
I don't listen to his teases.
Well, obviously. What's the top story, JP?
Adrian Peterson says he wants to truck people.
How about you truck... other players on the field. How about you worry about that?
I know a bunch of people were making a big deal about an interview that Adrian did. I'd like to hear the comments. He did something. I know he did something with Channel 9. Is that where this is from?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'd like to hear it. It'd be the first I'd heard of it.
If you can just put on the helmet and get a football and just truck one player from this team, just high knees, run them over, who would that player be?
I don't think it's one guy that I would just want to run over that's on my team. Now, if you would have said in the front office, I could have had a couple options.
cut, rapid nine, Adrian Peterson.
No, hold on.
That's pretty. That made me chuckle. That makes me chuckle.
He's talking about on the Redskins front office?
Yes.
Yes. Of course.
Yes, Richard.
So he wants to truck Bruce. Those guys were the ones, I think, that were actually defending him. They were the ones sticking up for him.
He might mean Jay.
No, he might mean.
I know. Jay doesn't classify as front office.
I know, but. He's not exactly a wordsmith.
I would guess his ally in the front office is Doug Williams, because that's the guy that called him off the scrap heap when he was unemployed. So he might have no love for like Snyder and Bruce Allen.
My understanding just loves Doug Williams. Bruce and those guys were sticking up for him, too.
I would guess he wants to truck Gruden.
That's what I would think.
And he may just lump him in as front office guy.
It could be.
Maybe.
So the question was, who do you want to truck on your own team?
On your team, yeah.
Why would he answer that?
You're not
going to
answer that.
It was a
stupid question.
Yeah, if you're going to ask about the Bears, that's fine.
No, because they were having fun. It was like a fun.
Yeah,
he's asked him nine questions in like a minute. And so he's just having this goofy rapid fire thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's
Adrian
a terrible question.
Adrian was laughing the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's
just having some fun.
I think it's a corny question.
You're such a
curmudgeon. If you were in the front office, I could have had a couple options.
Cut, rapid nine.
Yeah. What's that guy's name? Channel 9 guy?
Don't worry about it.
Slander
the guy.
Is it Hagans?
Haynes, I believe. Haynes. Darren Haynes.
Darren Haynes, yeah.
Met him at the Caps practice, or when we did the show last Thursday.
It's a funny zing from Adrian Peterson. Just worry about trucking somebody in the
Bears.
Opposing jersey.
Yeah, Eddie Jackson.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about you try to concentrate on that instead?
There's actually a funny quote from Jay Gruden. I don't know if we have the audio, where he seems to contradict himself about saying it was easier to defend Khalil Mack because he's going to be on both sides. And then by the end of his quote, he was like, no, it's actually harder because you don't know where he's lining up.
Do you have the audio? No, he didn't have the audio.
It's like Awad talking to Drab yesterday. He was very confused, very discombobulated.
Well, anyway, they play the Bears on Monday night. What's the line on the game now, Jason?
I got four here.
Four?
Yep.
I thought I had heard yesterday the Skins were getting like five, no?
Four. There are 7 billion sports books. So you can probably find three and a half, four, five. You can probably find any one of those numbers. And you can always buy points.
Right.
I've got four on my site.
Who do you like? You like the Bears minus four?
I would
take the Skins and the points.
You would take the Skins plus four?
Almost any number. If you're giving me points, I'll take the skins.
Yeah, I don't know if
points.
I would lay the four just because we've talked about the Bears' offense has been a little bit poolicious the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's not been impressive.
But, I mean, they're playing the Skins' defense, which is also poolicious.
Which just yields so, yards and first downs to everybody.
If I could get it at, points. If I could get it at three, buy it down to three, I might feel comfortable. At four, I'm not so sure.
Plus, you throw in the fact that...
I do think they'll win, though.
Since 2008, do you know the Redskins' record in primetime?
Ooh.
Since 2008.
Guess. All right, how many games have they played since 2008?
It spans 17 games.
I'll say 3 and 14.
I believe it's 2 and 15.
2 and 15.
Man, that's atrocious.
That's a big sample size. That's not like one or two games. That's 17
games. That's what you call
games.
A trend. That's what
that
you call that.
That's a trend.
That's not fluky. That's a trend.
It's not fluky.
What do you attribute that to?
Lack of talent.
Just playing better teams.
Lack of talent.
Probably better. You're playing better teams.
More marquee teams.
You have no home field advantage. That's been crystal clear. I think the Redskins at this point.
But why would they be worse in a primetime game versus just a regular game? I mean, they're pretty bad in regular games. But why?
I don't know. They just do not perform well in the national stage.
Well, like you said, usually the matchups are tougher matchups, better teams.
Let's go to Albert in D.C. Albert, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Jumps.
Yeah, so my problem is everybody else's problem pretty much. My problem is Bruce Allen. Mm-hmm. I think until we get rid of Bruce Allen, we're going to always be a mediocre team. Honestly, watching the team in these first 2 weeks, I think that they only missing a real free safety. And all of this is coming down to decision-making. If you go back to last year's draft when we took Deron Payne, or we could have took Derwin James, it's pretty obvious to me that we should have took Derwin James. Now, I'm not saying that Deron Payne is bad. I like Deron Payne. Mm-hmm. But Deron Payne was the second best prospect in his position. Derwin James was the best prospect in his position. Both positions were positions of need. So Derwin James should have been the player that we took. My second thing is that why is Trent Williams still in the building?
He's not in the building.
I'm sorry. You absolutely right. So why is he still on our roster?
I agree 100%.
I think he's on a special list.
I think the Skins would rather win the battle head to head with Trent than deal him and improve the team somehow. I think that's
and
more
that's
important
the, than that. That's the point that I'm making. It's yeah. not the team. It's Bruce Allen that would rather win the battle, the right. media battle. It's Bruce Allen that want to build a stadium rather than build a team. Wow. So it's I'm like super duper aggravated with this guy. Dan needs to step up. And he needs to get Bruce Allen out of the building.
Bruce
I understand
Allen,
he's hurt.
He's
a winner at life, but he is a loser at running a football team.
Albert,
and that's
you,
been
yeah,
proven.
Albert, you we'll and agree. I, you and I both know that he's not going to make a move to fire Bruce Allen.
I know
you can't do that. You're not going to root
Valdez,
for the Ravens.
Valdez is ready for it. You're always welcome.
People say that. It's not that easy.
I've tried it.
But at some point, you're Dan Snyder. I don't care how buddy-buddy you are with Bruce. He's your drinking pal. You know, he's your confidant. At some point, you have to move on from him. You can still be friends with him, but you just can't,
it's not
can't
gonna
continue
do that.
To run your football team.
It's not going
to
happen.
Does it
so
mean,
in 30 years when the Redskins are still
awful
and
winning
four or five games?
A parade similar to the Caps parade if Bruce Allen was fired.
Bruce Allen's still going to be there in 10 more years if they're winning four or five games a season?
Bruce Allen will retire before he gets fired.
Okay. I mean, if that's the way
did,
Dan Snyder wants to run his business.
He did turn on Vinny. So I think eventually he'll turn on him. I don't know when.
And he's tighter with
Bruce. He's going to allow Bruce Allen to have a 20-year reign of terror over his team?
I'm not sure that he's tighter with
How
them.
Long has he been there?
A lot, like 8 or 9 years, I want to say.
Yeah,
something
think,
like that.
Jason, I'm not sure he's tighter with them. I think he just has reverence for that Allen name.
It's probably
but again,
a little bit of it. Yeah.
It's good to have. It's fine to have reverence. You respect what his father has done, and I guess you kind of respect what he's done for you. But at some point, you have to sever the ties. You have to do what's best for your team, your organization. You can't keep letting the same guy run it.
Takes everybody
running
agrees.
It into the ground.
Yeah, everyone
everybody
agrees.
I just but I'm not sure understand. That would even change. Even if they got rid of Bruce, he'll just get another guy to kind of do the same thing.
I agree. He's an awful owner.
Yeah.
By the way, Jordan Reed did practice yesterday as well as Jonathan Allen.
Yeah, all but right. I think they were doing individual work, right? I'm not sure they were doing full teamwork.
I think you can be optimistic about it about the guys coming
Jordan
back.
Did
we'll
that
see.
The, well, Jordan we did that the week before, week. Yeah. And then by Thursday he was done. So he probably, you know,
if Jordan Reed practices Friday, I would say, yeah, he'll play. So tomorrow's the big day for him.
The Jordan Reed thing is getting scary. Mm-hmm. It's getting scary because, you know, simple concussion, you think he would come back from it. They thought he'd be back in a week. It's been 3 weeks now. I don't know. I'm starting to worry.
But you like the Skins plus the four.
I like the Skins plus any points.
You want to do a little wager? Another $5 wager?
No, no, no.
Why? You did one last week. You're playing with house money.
Yeah. No, I got paid.
So I'm saying, you got my money.
I'll make a wager with you at some point.
Okay.
I need to consult my, you know, my staff and figure out where I'm going to lean.
I'm not a good bettor, but I like the Skins. I think there's a way they can beat the Bears. I wouldn't be shocked at all.
I don't know why you wouldn't do the emotional hedge.
At least there is a positive. Bruce Allen took a loss on his McLean mansion. So
we can all
revel in that.
Did that just happen?
I think it just happened. Yeah. He sold it for $3.2 million.
What did he pay for it?
He bought the property for $3.45 million in 2010. So he took a slight loss on it.
What? Yeah, I mean. He
took a loss, which is good.
Sure. I mean, over 9 years, you would hope that would grow.
Didn't he buy like a $10 million house out in Manhattan Beach?
I don't know if it was $10 million.
Maybe
or something. Five. It was 7 or 8.
He bought a silly property.
So he's getting ready. He's getting ready for retirement.
He's getting ready for that move.
That's where he's going to go out there and just enjoy his life. I think he has a place in Arizona, too.
He probably does.
The conventional wisdom probably is he won't leave until he gets that stadium deal done.
If you were born on third, you'd have a place in Arizona and an $8 million California mansion, too.
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
Imagine what it's like to be Bruce Allen, just to have that kind of power and that kind of wealth.
It must be amazing.
You've really not done much.
And just to think you're great at your job.
You got a cushy job that pays you handsomely that you know you're not going to get fired from, no matter how bad the results are on the field. Man, that must be nice.
It's crazy.
Must be amazing.
I will say this. I've heard Chad allude to this several times when we had Lombardi on about Jay trying to get fired. I don't think Jay's trying to get fired. I just think Jay, when he gets fired, will be relieved.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chad's misconstrued that comment, or maybe Lombardi said that. I don't think anybody in here thinks that Jay is trying to get fired. He's not trying to get fired.
He's trying to lose games.
No, he's trying to win. He's trying to win.
Of course.
But if he gets fired.
Do you see how pissed off he gets at the refs when they make a bad
but
call?
I think
if he gets fired, he'll be relieved.
Yeah. I think the statements, like Michael Lombardi came on
exactly
and said
what Mike
that.
Said,
I think he meant that he's willing to say things in these pressers that maybe other coaches would pull back from saying he just doesn't care.
Yeah.
You know, and even if the front office wanted to play Adrian Peterson, he doesn't care. He made him inactive in week one.
Yeah, or he'll play him and just won't give him the ball. He'll just give him the ball 8 or 9 times and basically do it his way.
By the way, the significance of Jonathan Allen and Jordan Reed practicing is allegedly they did not practice last week before the Dallas game.
Well, it's not true because Jordan practiced through, I believe, Wednesday.
But maybe not with the team. I'm just seeing what the reporters wrote.
I know he practiced on Wednesday.
They're saying it was different, that they're back at practice and that they weren't practicing before the Dallas game.
Right. Well, hopefully it's a good sign. I'm expecting Allen. I think Allen is practicing with a brace, though, right? Hopefully that doesn't limit him.
All right, coming up next, Roy Firestone's going to join us, broadcasting legend. Remember, later in the show at 8 o'clock, Dave Richard to talk some fantasy football here on the Junkies.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. You want to check us out on TV? Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, a broadcasting legend, Roy Firestone, who throughout his career has conducted over 5,000 interviews in his career, basically interviewed everybody. He's got a new book out called That's What I'm Talking About. And it's amazing when I look at the list of people you've interviewed, Roy, for whatever reason, Mike Tyson jumps out at me first because we've had him on the show.
Tyson.
And Tyson is fun and he's unpredictable, but we've never had him on in person. And I would think that I'd be intimidated with him right there in front of me.
Well, hey, first of all, guys, good morning, and thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, you're awesome.
I've known Mike Tyson for pretty much parts of 35 years. It's hard to believe. When did he become 52 years old is my question. Right. I can't even imagine how fast that was. But remember the first time you heard him speak and you thought there was something wrong with the audio on your TV, but it was one of those, a left and a right, another left and it's all over. There's a new champion of the world, Mike Tyson. He goes, oh my God, I feel powerful. It's extraordinary. I'm awesome. I hit with the left hand, right hand. I don't know what to say. I was extraordinary. I mean, the way he talked, he looked like one of, you know, he sounded like one of the lollipop kids of the Wizard of Oz. I mean, I've never really gotten my arms around that voice.
Was he intimidating?
I met him. He was 19 years old, but he was so devastating. I remember, I don't know if you remember the Tyson Sphinx fight in 1988.
Of course. Yeah, it lasted about 10 seconds.
Well, 91 seconds to be very exact. But, you know, a week before the fight, Michael Sphinx comes on the show. And I know he's scared of Tyson. So I said, Michael Sphinx, you're about a week before the fight. Are you concerned about your weigh-in? So he said, no, man, I'm concerned about the way out. So I knew right then and there that was going to be – right, but so I'm sitting there, and I go to ringside, and it was at the Trump Plaza in New Jersey, at Atlantic City. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting in the third row, and I'm sitting behind Richard Pryor. Okay, we're sitting there talking, and then all of a sudden, the fighters come out, and Tyson looks into, you know the pre-fight instructions, when the referee's giving the instructions. Mike Tyson leans into Sphinx, and I can hear him say, tonight I'm going to beat the hell out of you, right? And Michael Sphinx goes, I know. Basically, that's what happened. The fight last 91 seconds, guys. Now, this is a true story. I'm running to go to the press room. You guys, I'm sure, have been in your time running to get to some press room somewhere in sports coverage. And you want to be the first one in the row. So you run as soon as the fight is over. I'm in a dead run. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking 45, one minute maybe after the fight. Tyson's behind me. Somehow he's right behind me with six of his entourage. He had just walked out of the ring. He sees me. And this is a true story. He goes, oh, my God, it's Roy Firestone. Come over here for a sec. This is seconds after he knocked, you know, Sphinx dead in the ring, 91 seconds. I said, hey, Mike, congratulations. Oh, don't worry about that. Can I ask you a question? I saw the show with your father. Your father was very knowledgeable about boxing. I was very impressed. Would you give him my very best? I'm seeing this. This is stunning, right? Yeah. After the fight.
Right.
So my father hates Mike Tyson. So I in those days, there was no cell phone. I pick up the phone on a pay phone, and I call my father at home. I said, I can't believe Mike Tyson. He goes, oh, let me tell you about Mike Tyson. He should be in jail, that thug. I said, wait a minute. Before you go any further, Dad, Mike Tyson just said he saw the show you were on seconds after he knocked out Sphinx tonight and said you are a terrific, knowledgeable sports fan, and he wanted you to have his very best wishes, right? My father, long pause, he goes, well, I can tell you this. He's one of the great champions we've ever had, that's for sure.
He did turn. That's hilarious.
By the way, you can check out his book at royfirestone.com or Amazon.
Yeah,
that's where he's got all the stories. royfirestone.com.
I wanted to ask you about Tiger because, you know, we've interviewed Mike a bunch of times, and he'd mellowed by the time we'd interviewed him. So he wasn't.
Well, didn't he live in D.C. for a while?
Yeah. I think he did.
Yeah, over there in Potomac.
He was married out here. He got in a famous car accident out here.
Yeah.
Right.
But anyway, always fun and entertaining. And, you know, one guy that we did interview in person, though, was Tiger, and we're big Tiger fans, but that dude...
I was intimidated by that.
That dude is intimidating.
And I'm probably 6 or 7 inches taller than him.
Yeah.
And he was intimidating.
Yeah. You interviewed Tiger when he was 11?
11 years old, yeah. You know,
at that point, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't intimidating, but you know what? You could see, guys, you could see the greatness. You could see it. He was calm. He was for an 11-year-old. I mean, 11 years old. You know, kids are, you know, squeezing pimples at 11 years old. You know, this guy, he was an amazingly calm kid. He came out with Earl, his father. And, you know, the two of them talked about their dreams. Of course, obviously, he hadn't turned pro. He wouldn't turn pro for 7-8 more years. But I could tell, right, you know, there was an aura about him. I remember Wilt Chamberlain coming on the show. He wanted to say aura about Mike Tyson, about Tiger Woods. He goes, you know, there's something about Tiger Woods, he's just got an aroma about him. He meant to say aura.
Right.
But he did. He had an aroma and an aura.
So
and I just thought he was an impressive young man. But he's not the greatest interview. Would you guys agree that he wasn't really a tremendous interview?
Oh,
he's kind of a dollar.
Yeah, he doesn't give you anything.
He's a dollar. He doesn't let you in. That's what we found with most. Like, we've had an opportunity to interview LeBron, obviously
right.
Bryce Harper. These superstars, these icons,
most often
they're all weirdos in their own way because people just want stuff from them and they don't let you in.
Well, let me give you an example of a couple of guys in that category. I think definitely Derek Jeter was one of those guys. Mm-hmm. He never gave you anything because
right.
he didn't feel like it was either his business or your business to talk about it. Number two is Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady,
yeah.
he never met an interview he liked. And by the way, he's not an arrogant. Whether you like him or you don't, whether you're a Patriot fan or you hate him, you know, Tom Brady has been involved. This is hard to believe. Almost one out of every six Super Bowls had had Tom Brady in it.
Mm-hmm.
You believe that?
Right.
It's incredible. I mean, but he never gives you much. I'll tell you who gives you a lot is Barkley. Charles Barkley gave me more material. I'll give you a real quick story. I'm interviewing the Houston Rockets, and I got Olajuwon and Barkley together. And I said, here's an offbeat question for you guys. You know, Hakeem, Charles, are you going to heaven? I mean, I just wanted to throw something out to begin. So Olajuwon's a very reflective guy, soft-spoken, humble, you know, very mm-hmm. religious. You know, he goes, well, I believe my service to God. If my service is good and pure and consistent, I will go to heaven. Thank you very much. I said,
right.
nicely said, Hakeem. How about you, Charles? Are you going to heaven? He goes, I don't know, but it's definitely going to be a close vote. I mean, he could come up with stuff. And also, I love Shaq.
Shaq is great.
He grew into a great interview.
Yeah.
And he always gave me offbeat answers. I said, one time I had interviewed him after the Lakers lost the championship to the Pistons in five games. And in Detroit, it's 2:00 in the morning, Palace of Auburn Hills. I said, Shaq, ESPN wants me to unfortunately interview you on your disappointment at losing the world championship. Imagine this, right? I said, can you give me your emotional state right now? So Shaq goes, well, I'm a little pissed off. I said, well, okay. This is my follow-up question. How pissed off are you, right? Shaq looks at me, and he's dripping wet. He's got a towel around him, and he goes, to the highest level of pissivity. You know, I mean, it was the best answer for a stupid question like me. But, you know, there's so many great stories. We have an amazing story about Bill Walton contemplating suicide. Amazing stories about Richard Nixon and Billy Crystal. Tons about Ali. Maybe we can close with an Ali story at the end. Harry Carey. Have even Elvis references. 90 stories in this book. That's what I'm talking about. And, I appreciate you guys having me on. But you can get it on either PayPal at royfireson.com or Amazon Kindle. And I'll sign it if you want me to sign it at PayPal on royfireson.com.
Would you include Michael Jordan in that category of athletes
yes.
who just didn't
yes.
give you much?
I never thought Jordan really was comfortable with reporters.
Yeah.
He's a private guy. He has his friends. He has a circle of friends. People like Ahmad Rashad, of course, everyone knew that. And you know, of course, you guys had him late in his career with, you know, mm-hmm. the Wizards. But I never felt Jordan really was comfortable doing what you. He didn't like the microphone. You know, you'll never see him as an analyst. There's no way he'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's a singular, unique guy, the greatest of all time. But yet, a guy who was comparatively similar as a player was Kobe. And Kobe was a different guy. Kobe was a guy who even though he was a loner, I'll tell you a great story. I said to Shaq, what's the difference between your personality and that of Kobe? He goes, well, that's easy. Kobe is a loner, and me, I'm a socialist. I went, okay, thank you very much. But Kobe was a different bird. But Kobe still, when he gave you an interview, he came to play.
Mm-hmm.
He gave you the best interview because he was insightful and a technician, thoughtful, aware, and very outspoken. Jordan wouldn't give you that.
Yeah, I mean, even now, Jordan, as an owner, you know, he's always at the games and around the NBA circles. He still, right now, doesn't give you anything. I never
right.
see interviews with Jordan now.
No. He's
right.
Is there anybody
a reluctant celebrity.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Is there anybody out there now that you wish you had interviewed or you'd like to in the future?
You know, it's funny. I never really got to do a long sit down with LeBron. I mean, I know you guys may have had it. I think he's an interesting guy who, again, who has evolved as a celebrity. Who's evolved into a terrific interview. And he was a shy guy. Obviously, he came out with very limited education. And he's also as heroic in my mind. A lot of things he's done for the communities that he was served in, academics, and in getting these kids scholarships, spending hundreds of millions of dollars of his own money and having it, you know, matched by a bunch of other, you know, backers to help give these kids scholarships and give them an access to an education. He's an impressive guy. I like LeBron a lot. There's a lot of people who have different opinions about him, but I'll tell you, he's one of the most impressive. There's a lot of impressive guys I've been around in sports, and I think LeBron is possibly the most evolved athlete I've been around based on the fact that he can play virtually out of high school.
Yeah, you know? And one of the things that we've noticed is a lot of these guys are pretty darn charitable. A lot of these guys will do your event. They'll give their time. I'll never forget, we did an event. We did like this bike race with a bunch of Redskins. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, they were talking about the softball charity they were doing after. I said, softball? I did one charity. This is all I'm doing for the year.
They did a bike charity and a softball charity back to back.
They were doing two in one day. And these guys, they do this kind of thing all the time. And I'm not quite sure the general public appreciates it.
Well, I think it's easy to go after athletes. And by the way, I think we should be skeptical about athletes, you know, in sports. And but basically, it's a stupid world. Sports is just stupid stuff. It's just games for the most part. Not to say you can't follow a story journalistically, of course, and report it properly. But, people, we do take it a little bit too seriously. These people are just, you know, freaks of athletic nature. You know, they have, you know, pituitary glands that are different than ours. They do things differently physically. Most people are not that verbal in sports that I've come to be around. You know, I did, as you mentioned, 5,000. I did the Jerry Maguire scene where, quote, Roy gets him to cry, which is, by the way, a little bit of a myth. I did 5,000 interviews, 25 people. We counted it. 25 people cried in 5,000.
Right.
So I think we had more laughs on the show. I mean, I remember I interviewed Shannon Sharp. Remember Shannon Sharp? He played for the Ravens and of course the Broncos. I said, Shannon, I love this answer. I said, based on your academic career, would you say you graduated to the level of magna cum laude? And he thought for a second and he goes, Roy, the fact that I graduated at all is thank you, Lordy. You know, that was his. You know, we had, I mean, these guys had one-liners. It was a parade. And, you know, I like to think that you guys are in the business every day having to put together shows for hours at a time. I was very fortunate. I got to do it in a time when there was, you know, not a lot of social media, not a lot of competing television sports talk shows about who you're talking to. But I'm proud of the fact that I like to think that some of what I did was close to a podcast on live television. And because we reflected on people's lives and their dreams and their fears and love and hate and death. And we didn't just talk about this week's, you know, they're playing the Cardinals, who you got this week. You know, I never felt that was an appeal to me, you know?
Talking to the great Roy Firestone, over 5,000 interviews. His book's available on royfirestone.com or on Amazon. We never interviewed him. We were just in the room with Muhammad Ali once, and we were blown away by just the presence. Tell us what you know or what you have there with Muhammad Ali.
I don't know how much time we have, fellas. Maybe you guys give me. I just want to leave it at this. I'd like to leave you with this story. I knew Ali since I'm 15 years old. I grew up in Miami Beach, Florida, as a kid. And he trained there down, including as far back as 1964. When he met the Beatles, which is a famous picture everyone saw. So my very first television interview ever in my life on TV was Muhammad Ali, and he had just beaten Joe Frazier, Thrill in Manila. I'm going to make this quick, but this is, to me, the best story I've ever been around. We go to a nursing home in South Beach, Florida. Most of the people in the nursing home are in their 90s, a couple are 102, 105, and he goes into a room and he starts doing, I am the greatest, I'm the fastest, can nobody whoop me, I'm the greatest of all time, what's my name? And he sees there's an old black man in a wheelchair. And the old man's not reacting at all. He walks in, hey, old man, what's my name? And he starts doing that. No reaction. So Ali starts to walk away. And as he's walking away, I see, and I have my camera crew here, I can see this old man turn his wheelchair over towards Ali and speak. And he goes, hey. And Ali goes, what? He goes, hey, I know who you are.
And Ali goes, you know who I am. Tell everybody in this room who I am. And he says, I know you're the champ. You're the greatest of all time. Can't nobody whoop me. My dream come true because I got to meet the champ and I'm 98 years old. And Ali goes, that's right, old man. Tell everybody what is my name. And he looks up and he goes, Joe Louis.
So great.
Now, wait a minute. Now, the story's not over. So it's amazing. I see every member of Ali's entourage try to correct the old man. Hey, old man, that ain't Joe Louis. What are you? And Ali stopped him. He stopped him. He pulled him into a corner, and this is what I heard him say. How dare you? How dare you ever correct an old man, somebody who said his dream just came true? How dare you want to take a man's dream? Maybe all in his whole life, all he ever tried to do is put food on the table for his babies. And he may not be a great man, but he's a good man. And don't you ever take the dream away from a good man. And if he thinks that the only champ that mattered to him, the greatest of all time, was Joe Louis, then I got news for you, fellas. And then he said it. My name is Joe Louis tonight. And I thought about that. And I thought about what he represented, Ali. I thought about how he was tender with the young and compassionate with the aged and tolerant of weak and strong people and how he uplifted other human beings. And I believe, guys, that we'll never see the like of Muhammad Ali ever again because he represented dignity and self-love. Yeah, there was a lot of theater, of course, we knew that. A lot of brashness, we knew that. But he also uplifted people. And to me, that's what makes the greatest champions of all.
Roy, thank you so much. The book is That's What I'm Talking About. Check it out. It's available on royfirestone.com.
I just want to make one more comment. I want to thank the great Jay Naughton was our copy editor. And also, if people want to hear me speak, I do a one-man show. Washington Speakers Bureau right there in Washington will do all my bookings for me. So I do a lot of that stuff. But I really appreciate you guys having me on. Again, the name of the book is That's What I'm Talking About. I appreciate you. It's on royfirestone.com and Amazon. And thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Roy. Appreciate it, buddy.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
All right. All right.
Man, I used to watch all his interviews.
Yeah, so did I.
All those interviews on ESPN.
Man, he's got a billion stories. Hey, Coach Wooten's basketball camp is the place this fall for players, coaches, and teams to grow. Small group skills training sessions, coaches, clinics, and a team tournament all are available this fall. Instruction is the difference. A Coach Wooten's basketball camp, they instill a love for the game. They teach. You have fun. No stress. Coach Wooten's basketball clinic is the nation's longest-running coaches clinic. It allows all levels to learn from the leading college and high school coaches. Check it out, CoachWooten.com. Two O's and two T's. CoachWooten.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Every morning on the Junkies at 7:45, give you a chance to win tickets to see the Nationals. Caller number 10 right now at 800-636-1067. We will give you tickets to see the Nationals take on Philly coming up September 26th at Nats Park. 106.7 The Fan and PenFed Credit Union. Take me out to the ball game all season long, courtesy of PenFed Credit Union. You can get more details at thefandc.com/contests. We'll get into some fantasy football coming up at 8 o'clock with Dave Richard
questions.
From CBS Sports.
Lots of questions.
Right now, though, we'll go around the league with the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by the Purple Heart Foundation, honoring their sacrifice, their service to help our military veterans.
Papa.
Visit donatepurpleheart.org.
Papa.
Thursday night football tonight, the Titans at 1-1 head to Jacksonville to take on a Jaguars team that is winless.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they lost their starting quarterback, Nick Foles, in the opener. It's Gardner Minshew as their starting quarterback. The storyline there is, will Jalen Ramsey, who wants out of Jacksonville, play? Doug Marone, the head coach of Jacksonville, says he will play.
Yeah, he's going to be in there.
as they may or may not be trying to deal him. I know Ramsey wants out. We don't know whether Jacksonville really wants to deal
Jason him. Jason Lockenfor reports that the Eagles, the Seahawks, and the Chiefs are the three teams that are most interested.
Yeah, I think if they get the compensation back that they would like, they would deal him. But I think they want at least a first-round pick, if not multiple.
But you have to agree to a new deal with the guy, right? That's the whole thing. He wants another deal, right? He wants that second contract.
Well, I'm sure
he
does.
Let's get that locked up.
I'm sure he does. But it's hard to have a guy out there on your roster in your locker room that has made it known publicly that he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, that does nothing but fracture the team. I like the Titans tonight, Cakesy. Lane 1.5. I'll bet against a rookie quarterback all day long, especially one that was drafted in the sixth round. Although Minshew has played pretty well. He had some turnovers last week, but I'll take the Titans tonight.
One of your more interesting matchups.
If you have a squeaky leaner and you want to go Oppo, let me
know. I'll let you know.
All right.
One of your more interesting matchups in week three pits the Saints, who now will be without Drew Brees, and the Seattle Seahawks. Drew Brees did have surgery on his right thumb yesterday. Sean Payton, interestingly, declined to name the starter. Everybody thinks it's going to be Teddy Bridgewater, but he said, we're going to approach this game with two quarterbacks. So you're going to see potentially a lot of Taysom Hill on the field.
He loves to get Taysom Hill involved. Now, whether he'll tab him as the starting quarterback, we'll see. I wouldn't be shocked if he rolls Hill out there to start.
No.
And then if he struggles, you throw Bridgewater in there.
I think he's still going to go with Bridgewater, but if Bridgewater's, yeah, exactly. If he's struggling, he'll throw Hill in there. I think he really wants to play Hill.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a package of both regardless if he's struggling.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Cleveland Browns tight end David Njoku. A lot of people were hyping him up, particularly in the fantasy football world. He exited Monday's win against the Jets with concussion. However, apparently he suffered a wrist injury as well that could require surgery.
Mm.
They are looking at second opinions, but that would be a big hit for the Cleveland Browns. And we talked about it. They're 1-1 after getting all the hype. And they have a brutal five-game stretch the next 5 weeks where they're going to be the dog probably in every game.
Well,
good.
Rams, obviously, Sunday night. Then they're going to play in Baltimore. And then they're going to play at San Francisco. Then they're going to play the Seahawks at home. Then they're going to play in New England. So you're right. That's a brutal five-game stretch right there. And Baker Mayfield hadn't looked good in either game.
No. He has four interceptions on the season through 2 weeks. Tom Brady popped up on the injury report in New England. Calf injury. They say it's a minor deal. But that's something to monitor, particularly for somebody at his age. We'll see if they need him against the Jets.
Who's his backup at this point? Why am I spacing on that?
Hoyer, right?
Hoyer's gone. He's in Indy now.
Well,
I think isn't it Stidham?
Is it Jarrett Stidham?
I thought it was Stidham.
I'll have to look at the depth chart there.
Yeah, check that out.
But I know a reporter said they saw Tom after practice, and he was walking with no limp, and everything. He looked fine. So
yeah.
Hopefully it's just something minor.
I mean, he's almost 50. Of course his calf hurts.
Well, if I'm Belichick and Brady's banged up, and you've got your 31-3 lead, definitely throwing Stidham out there and get him some reps.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. He's no dummy.
Team total for the Jets is 10.5.
Yeah, it's Stidham. No other quarterback on the roster.
Right. That should be a blowout.
Yeah.
Michael Vick did a sit-down with Master Tesfatsian for a new show called Untold Stories, and it's kind of funny. So he's told the story about how he had his first dinner with Arthur Blank when he was drafted #1 by the Falcons. Mm-hmm. Blank takes him to a fancy steakhouse, and because he had never, ever had like that type of dining experience, definitely ordered chicken fingers and fries.
He did. That's a good bit. Yeah, I mean, a fancy dinner can be intimidating to somebody who's never been to one of those before in their life. So I can understand him doing that.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know any better.
He knew it would taste good.
I mean, chicken fingers and fries are awesome.
Speaking of #1 picks, quarterbacks, Cam Newton was a #1 pick, and apparently he's got a foot injury, and it's maybe more serious than originally thought, because according to Ian Rappaport, at least as of yesterday, Kyle Allen was trending to be the starter for Carolina in week 3 in their Sunday game against the Arizona Cardinals.
Wow.
Did you guys probably didn't notice this?
He didn't look good. There's something up with him. He just doesn't look like He's out, ready to play starting quarterback in the NFL.
Kyle Allen.
I don't know if it's emotional or physical, but doesn't look right.
Undrafted out of college. He started his career with Texas A&M, then went to Houston.
Yep. Of course, they drafted Will Greer.
I know you guys didn't notice this. I'm sure you did. I know Jason doesn't because he's not on social media. But Drabby can comment on this. Did you see Mortensen trolling Ian Rappaport? So Mortensen is, you know, Ian Rappaport, we've had on the show a million times, whatever. I think he gets a lot of stuff wrong. Well, Mortensen is basically calling him a rat on Twitter and basically saying that he's stealing Schefter's reports.
Oh, really?
So Schefter will tweet a breaking story and then... like 30 seconds later, Rappaport will tweet the same thing and say sources say.
Right.
And I mean, Chris Mortensen, I think, is a pretty classy guy that most people have a ton of respect for.
Yeah.
He is basically calling him out.
Really?
Saying that he's stealing Schefter's.
Any response from Rappaport?
Not that I'm aware of. Did you see that, Drabby? Did you see those?
I saw the story. I mean, I don't know if he does that. He may do that. I think a lot of people probably do that on Twitter. Like social media, people just pick it up and then they say it's their story.
Well, that's how they break their news, though. So he's trying to claim it as his own.
Yeah. It's shady.
You think he's just constantly refreshing Schefter's feed?
I don't think Rappaport's very good.
Can you imagine the jealousy there?
I don't know if it's jealousy, but it's kind of like it's his job.
It's lazy.
I could see him being jealous that Schefter has...
it's better, all shine.
Has better sources.
Yeah.
That's if he indeed doesn't do it, because what he could do is see Adam Schefter's, make one phone call to confirm it, and then that's his. You know what I mean? He's got the phone numbers of all the same
people.
Yeah,
but don't act like you're breaking it.
Oh, I don't know that he does.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and Chris Mortensen's
you think
report,
Rappaport wasn't bitter that Schefter's the one who broke the Antonio Brown of the Patriots story?
Schefter breaks 95% of the stories. He just does. Everybody leaks to him first.
All right, coming up next, we will talk some fantasy football. You have a lineup question. Now's your chance to get in at 800-636-1067. You can also tweet us at Junks Radio. Dave Richards, CBS Sports Fantasy Guru, next here on the Junkies.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.